This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Happy Christmas Eve.
Happy Christmas Eve to you, sir. And
welcome, welcome, welcome to the Pipes Magazine radio show. Yes, the sometimes irreverent, sometimes educational, but always entertaining, holiday-filled spirit of a podcast with two of my best friends out there.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Okay, this, if for those of you tuning in, do not adjust your dial. Do not wipe away your screen. Don't worry. You're not going crazy, at least not in relation to what you're seeing right now. This is, in fact, the Country Squire Radio Pipes Magazine holiday crossover episode, and we are super stoked to be joined with none other, ladies and gentlemen, than, of course, Brian Levine. A man, a myth, and a legend.
That aren't used to seeing me here, this will make it better for you. I'll just hide behind the pop screen and put sunglasses on. So,
well, you know, but Bo just started the introduction out by saying, you know, no need to worry and everything's okay. And right. I, and what we just experienced is the opposite of all that.
Oh,
like, there's lots of reasons to worry, and this is ridiculous, man. It's Christmas Eve, and look, there's the three buddies. We're here, here hanging out.
And it's too early for us to be drinking.
I don't know what rules you're going by, Brian. Let's not get too draconian about this.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, you know, it's 11 o'clock somewhere, right?
It's Christmas Eve.
I'm having coffee, thank you.
Look, well, that's good. I had eggnog in my breakfast cereal. You know, it's the holidays. You got to do what you got to do.
It's funny. My house, Brian, Bo, you guys, and a lot of our listeners know, actually got married this year, and my sister-in-law and her husband and their five darling children, five, are all staying at our home.
Oh my gosh, seriously?
Right now.
Really?
And so we were shopping for Christmas. This was 2 days ago. And, you know, Nina was like, we don't need any eggnog, do we? And I just kind of looked at her. And she put one jug of eggnog in the cart, you know, and then I kept looking at her, and so she put another one in the cart. and then I kept looking at her. And she put another one in the cart, and I said, yeah, that'll do it.
There's the sweet spot. That's what you want.
That's it. Just with just enough whiskey, I think we'll be able to sneak through. So,
well, look, sometimes you need that additional holiday spirits to get through the holidays. But I want to say this before we dive into what is sure to be a episode of the Pipes Magazine podcast and Country Squire Radio for the history books. First, we got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. And of course, I'm talking about, we are 1 week away from the new year. And along with that comes the annual best of in the pipes and in the tobaccos and basically the best of Country Squire Radio edition, so to speak, where listeners have nominated and now are currently voting for categories like best tin tobacco, best tobacconist, best pipe, even best pipe media, of which none other than Brian Levine happens to be featured. We're not showing favoritism. If anything, we want to do just the opposite of that. But one way or the other, if you head over to CountrySquireRadio.com right now and click on the best of 2018, you can get your vote in right now. We'll announce the winners as we come back after the new year. And you're going to want to go ahead and head over there today to make sure that you get your votes in. And we're really, really excited to do that. All right. Now, I think we're ready to go ahead and jump into it. This is going to be a special episode, if you haven't already been able to tell. Not only do we have none other than Brian Levine here, not only do we have none other than John David here, not only do we have me here, but we have the listeners here. We are broadcasting live right now at CountrySquireRadio.com. You know, what better way to celebrate the holiday season than to share kind of some traditions of ours around kind of the pipe? You know, we all talk about gathering around the Yule log. Well, a lot of us also gather around the pipe this time of year. This is great, you know, growing up, celebrating Hanukkah, Brian, and celebrating Christmas, John David and I. We got a lot of unique traditions that we want to kind of bring to the table. So, guys, who wants to kick it off? Who wants to start off?
Well, let me first of all talk about the Hanukkah thing real quick, because yeah, I was born and raised in a Jewish family that celebrated Christmas. In fact, I got confirmation this morning. The first Christmas tree we had at our house was when I was 2 years old. And I think it was from my grandfather's shoe store. So we got it for free, so that qualifies.
It's like a cardboard cutout in the shoe store.
You know those metal things with tinsel and everything? the sticks just plugged into the centerpiece. Well, that was it. To me, the beautiful part of Christmas and growing up and celebrating Christmas was, for one, I love my family, but Hanukkah is 7 or 8 nights in a row of the same people, the same food, and just giving gifts to the kids. The spirit of Christmas is thinking, you know, taking this time for this year and thinking about others and finding gifts for others. And for those of us that have kids, you know, when Santa Claus comes and delivers the perfect gift, the benefit is, yeah, you spend a whole month getting ready for it, but it's over in one evening. It's not 7 nights in a row celebrating another miracle.
I don't know, man. This year, my family is going full on Catholic. We're not, but we are, because my wife, since she can't celebrate, she's working today, tomorrow, and the next day, so she's not able to celebrate Christmas. So she's gone full into the 12 days of Christmas. That's not just a song. That's a thing.
No, that is a thing.
And it starts with Christmas and goes on for 12 days, which is kind of ridiculous.
Well, there is that, but you know, I always thought growing up that my Jewish friends were having more fun because they had 7 days of presents, right? That's what we equated it with, just more days of presents. But you're saying it's the kids, and then it kind of gets exhausting, and at some point you're like, man, just the whole one and done thing sounds pretty good, huh?
It sounded really good, especially when you got the same amount of gifts, really, but you got it all in one morning.
Right, right. It does. It makes it exciting, you know?
Yeah.
And so, then you have bagels and cream cheese.
Hey, now,
that's a tradition I could get into.
Get them locks, man. You got to do that.
If it's on sale, yes.
All right, so I tell you what, Brian, why don't you kick us off? Aside from the shoe store Christmas tree, when did the pipe start becoming part of your holiday tradition, and what does that look like for you?
You know, pipes are such a part of my everyday existence that it's really hard to celebrate or set up a tradition based around something that you do constantly all day long everywhere you can possibly. However, in the past, I have started this tradition of, for some reason, meerschaum pipes just mean a little bit more Christmas to me than, you know, than say all my briar pipes. And I very rarely smoke the three meerschaums that I have, because two of them are super special to me, that, you know, somewhere around Christmas Eve, depending on what's going on, or Christmas Day, depending on what's going on, I will take the time to pull out one of the two big meerschaums, load that pipe up, and sit down and relax with that and a drink. And for those of you watching live on the YouTube channel, I brought both of them out here on the camera for you. And this is a meerschaum that was given to me by Mike and Mary McNeil of McClellan for their 25th anniversary. They commissioned 25 of these meerschaum pipes to be made.
Wow, look at that. That is incredible.
That's beautiful. Got
whale logo right there. So this one's obviously special to me. And not exactly a pipe you're going to throw in your pocket and go to the mall with.
No.
But the other one, this one was made for me, and I can't remember the name of the artist that made it, but this was his interpretation of the castle at Disneyland. And it's just absolutely gorgeous detail.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Pretty stunning. Brian,
that's incredible.
The Disneyland castle and the McClellan meerschaum, have you smoked? You've smoked both of those. It's just something you don't pull out very often.
Yeah. I don't own pipes that I don't smoke.
Yeah. That a boy. That's what I'm talking about.
I got plenty of them. They're old beat up Disney World pipes that I never plan on smoking. No, I pull these out, you know, once or twice a year for special occasions, special events, something where I'm going to sit down for 3 hours and maybe have a really good drink or whatever.
Yeah.
And just really enjoy it. Those are my tradition. Do I put any special tobacco in it? Nope. I put my usual in there and fire it up and go. That's kind of my idea of a holiday tradition around pipe smoking. You know, those pipes may get pulled out on a significant birthday or anniversary or whatever it is. Tomorrow night, as we're recording this, it's Monday. So this is kind of like the Disney Parks Parade that we'll be watching tomorrow morning, which was pre-recorded in November.
Wow.
Tomorrow night, as this show's going out on the Pipes Magazine radio show podcast feed, you know, you could picture me just sitting there in front of sitting there in my reclining chair watching TV or watching whatever and sitting and smoking one of those two pipes.
When I think of Brian Levine and holiday traditions, I think of crotchety comments and, you know,
a Festivus?
Anger at children, maybe. I don't know.
No, I do love children. I love them slowly roasted with ketchup.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, that's that was WC Fields.
No, that's good. That's right. That's right.
Yep. Now, you know, you guys have your festive holiday hats on, so I'll go ahead and put my my festive holiday
hat.
Very
nice.
Yeah, yes. So if you're listening to the podcast but you're not able to tune in, Brian just put a giant hat on that is Frosty the Snowman, and he's got a pipe.
Yeah, except it's not accurate, though, because it looks like Frosty's smoking a briar pipe as opposed to his corncob pipe, and I don't think that's a button nose.
No. This is an artist's interpretation of...
I will say, you know, it's interesting. You know, we were talking actually before a week or so ago. We still, at some point, maybe next year, we have to do a Hero of the Bowl being Frosty the Snowman. As a prolific pipe smoker, as many actual holiday and Christmas characters are, Frosty the Snowman... Man, he's one of the few characters that's holding on to that pipe and it's not going anywhere. You know, they'll take away Kris Kringle's pipe, but they're not taking Frosty's pipe.
It's in the song, man.
It's in the song.
You can't get rid. You can't legislate that away.
Well, John David, what about you, man? What holiday traditions do you have around your pipe?
You know, it's funny, Brian, talking about the Meerschaum pipe. I've got three myself, and I don't smoke. Two of them I really only dedicate to tasting pipes. And so, you know, when I'm coming up with a new tobacco or, you know, working on a new blend, or if someone gives me a blend and they're like, hey, try this, I think there's something here you might be interested in, a lot of times I'll smoke it out of a Meerschaum pipe just for purity of flavor. Clay, I have a clay as well that we use for that too. But, you know, my Big Claw Meerschaum, that is the pipe that really starts coming out around Christmas time. And, you know, we get into the Advent season. We start looking forward to Christmas and thinking about, you know, just all the fun traditions and family coming over. And it's also the time of year that I tend to find myself smoking inside my home more often, which is kind of interesting. My wife is incredibly patient and lets me smoke in the house. But Christmas time, it's really that time of year that I find myself just craving, you know, that couch with my puppy dog and my glass of single malt and my Claw Meerschaum or another large pipe that where I'm just putting a lot back. So
you add wife into that couch too.
And that's correct. Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble here. So we have that, and you know, I think honestly, just that smoking indoors more often kind of thing is kind of my personal deal. And what's interesting is I used to think, okay, well, I'm gonna have more time around the holidays. That's not the case anymore, but you know, I'm going to have more time to smoke around the holidays, so I'm going to pull out those tobaccos that are fun, that you know, that I haven't experienced in a while, that I haven't gone to in a long time, try some things in my cellar that you know, I haven't smoked in quite some time. The problem with that is that a lot of times when I'm smoking indoors around Christmas, it's around friends and family. You know, a lot of them they're like, oh, you're smoking inside, because they're not, you know, pipe people or are not smoke people. And so I find myself caving to that and starting to find tobaccos that smell, that I know are going to make the room smell nice. And so it's kind of funny. I'm like, man, I'm going to, you know, go after some of these English blends that I haven't revisited in some time. And I may do that, but then, you know, I have to mix it up real quickly because I know, you know, the folks around me are not going to appreciate the smell of, you know, burnt hair. And so there is that. You know, of course, you spoke about Mike and Mary and just how much we miss them and the industry, of course. And my favorite Christmas tradition every year is to open the, you know, the can of Christmas cheer from the previous year. And so, you know, really, this was the last year we were able to do that. And fantastic tobacco Christmas cheer, of course. But, you know, but there's great other tobaccos on the market that I think are nice holiday tobaccos. One that I would really encourage you, if you are a non-aromatic smoker that wants to mix it up just a little bit at Christmas time, and we've talked about this, you know, blend before on air, but and Brian actually could probably talk about it a lot more than I could. He's probably much more familiar with it. But is Scottish mixture from Mac Baron. It's just a good full-bodied aromatic tobacco. Some people, you know, really don't even refer to it as an aromatic because it's got such a nice hearty tone to it. It's a really complex mixture, but it's one of those tobaccos that I think if you're a non-aromatic smoker, but you're looking for something that's just a little sweet, that's going to make the people around you not pull their hair out, it might be a good option for you.
That's so good.
You know, I mean, what do you think about that, Brian? I don't know.
Well, you definitely don't want a tobacco that's going to make someone in the other room think the house is on fire and go running out into the street, you know, half drunk or whatever. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good tobaccos that we can play with, and yeah, that might be more pleasing to people.
Well, you know, the great thing is, you know, in my opinion, Christmas, the holiday season, is absolutely the time for aromatics. And we'll get into some great tobacco recommendations here in just a minute. But first, when I think about, like, you know, holiday pipe traditions are kind of some special memories that come to mind. I wish I owned a Meerschaum pipe, because I'm realizing, as you guys are talking about, like, yeah, I mean, in many respects, this is like the Meerschaum time of year. This is when you want to bust out that special pipe. And generally speaking, kind of my higher end pipes come out this time of year. I'll never forget, it was about 2 or 3 years ago. I often enjoy my pipe after kind of a big Christmas dinner. And, you know, John David and I, we're here down in the South where, you know, we can wear shorts on Christmas. I mean, nine times out of 10. So,
but as our friend Brian would say, probably not shoes, right?
Probably, yeah.
Y'all got them? Wear them. Go ahead.
We've got shoes. I'm not wearing them now, but we've got them. But so, you know, one of the great things that, I like to do is get out on the porch and smoke my pipe. And one of the things that we did, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, it was, I was, all of my siblings were all in town. My dad, my mom, we were all at their house. And I had brought not just my pipe, but I actually brought a couple of corncob pipes for my brothers and my dad. And the four of us sat on the back porch, and I brought some good aromatic tobacco. I don't care if you're a hardcore English blend smoker. I mean, Christmas is the time for aromatics. And we all sat down and we smoked pipes, and we kind of planned out the year and talked about things that had come before. And it was just one of the most special moments that I will never forget. It was such a great Christmas pipe moment to be able to share that experience. And to kind of, you know, the great thing is, they all smoke cigars, and so it's nice when you're kind of presenting a pipe to a cigar smoker, because at least in theory, they've got the concept down of smoking their pipe.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You don't have to really baby them as much, and I don't mean that in a derogatory term, but you don't really have to be as hands-on in guiding them through the process. So, you know, a little bit of direction, and they were good to go. And then it mostly just became about the community, which to me, that's really where kind of, you know, the pipe coming into the holiday season is. It's about that community for me personally.
And I would imagine, Bo, that part of your holiday tradition is, you know, sitting around and pulling out the, 1979 Star Wars holiday special on what is that, Laserdisc?
Hey, man, I don't have a Laserdisc, but I got YouTube. And let me tell you something, that Star Wars holiday special is terrible, but it is worth every horrible moment.
And as my hat would now indicate, I am a, I am a Star Wars fan, I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning's Disney Park special, because they're supposed to take you a little in depth into the new Galaxy's Edge.
Brian, when I tell you that I'm going to be the first guy in the door there, like, me and my brothers have been planning this for a year and a half. Ever since they announced Galaxy's Edge, we are going full in. We've been saving up. We are going to do the deluxe. You are a character in the park. I'm going to wear the whole thing. It's going to be Westworld Star Wars edition. I cannot wait. I will be there.
And that's a great transition for my travel business, because I can help you book that trip for you to Disney World. And, and who knows, you and about 3.8 million other friends might be lining up in the swamplands of Florida waiting. Go right ahead.
Brian, can I ask real quick, like, what other, I'm just interested out of curiosity, and maybe this is a little out of turn, but what are some other just random holiday traditions that you grew up with? Can I ask you that?
Random?
Yeah. Well, like, is there something, maybe you guys did during Hanukkah or even on Christmas morning that, you know, was different because, you know, you weren't, you know, celebrating Christmas the same way some of your other friends were? Was there something you can share just from that background?
Yeah, well, first of all, for us, it took several years. I mean, probably 10, 15 years. Once we put up the Christmas tree in the living room, my parents wouldn't let us open up the blinds to the street, because they didn't want the neighbors seeing that the Jewish family's got a Christmas tree.
Wow.
So it meant the blinds were closed.
Yeah.
I have fond memories of making gingerbread cookies as ornaments, because we didn't own a lot of ornaments when I was younger. So I have really fond memories of gingerbread cookies. And then my little dog Snoopy, we wondered why all the ornaments up to a certain level of the tree had disappeared. Well, apparently our dog really loved gingerbread cookies. Let's put it this way. My wife was baptized Lutheran, or as I call her, American, and comes from a very not heavily religious family.
Yeah.
But my aunt, who is now a retired judge, did our wedding. So she did a civil service with a couple little things, like, for example, we jumped the broomstick and we broke a light bulb.
That's cool.
Incorporate some of my family's Jewish traditions into a civil marriage. And the one thing that my aunt said is, when you do the vows, I will not put obey in there at all whatsoever. Because my aunt, being a judge, decided that she liked being a judge because people had to obey her.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
makes
fair.
Sense.
You know, and then again, once a year, we'll put out the little menorah. I think the one we have now is a big blue stuffed menorah with Velcro candles on the back, and go through that. We have the elf on the shelf. Well, we also have the mensch on the bench. Yes.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that. Okay, when did y'all start doing the mensch on the bench?
Well, he came out right after the elf on the shelf was a hit.
Is that right? Was that literally right after the elf on the shelf?
Yeah, it was like 2 years after.
Wait,
yeah.
Okay, how long has elf on a shelf been a thing?
Boy, 7, 8, 10 years.
Yeah, it seems like it's been at least a decade now.
Can I just say, yeah, the elf on the shelf is creepy? I'm not to judge anybody out there that's doing the whole elf on the shelf thing. I'm just saying, for me personally, I find it a bit creepy. It's his face. Look into his face. Those are evil eyes in the elf on the shelf.
He's judging you.
I find the Polar Express movie to be slightly bizarre, child trafficking, odd weirdness.
Plus, it's in the Uncanny Valley with the with the realness factor of the CGI and everything else. It's,
yeah. So no, my favorite thing with the elf on the shelf was when it's great having the three of us on right now, because the three of us represent the three different stages of Christmas families. You know, John David is at home playing Santa and Mrs. Claus with Mrs.
Right.
John David, and there's no kids. You got Bo playing Santa Claus for his kids and giving real gifts, and then you got me.
He's not playing Santa Claus. I don't know what you're talking about. Santa Claus, of course, is absolutely real, 100%. Hey, kids, y'all need to continue doing what you're doing. Be on the nice list.
That's right.
and go to bed. Get to bed.
Get to bed. It's noon, but get to bed anyway. That's right.
And then you got me, who's getting closer and closer to the appearance of Santa Claus. But you know, it's nice to see the three different levels of holiday traditions. And when my kids were younger, my favorite, one of the things we used to do was hide the elf on the shelf. And when the kids would wake up, well, one of my favorite things was I took a staple gun and some masking tape and fishing line and tied them to the ceiling fan. And he was just flying around.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Well, oh, go ahead. Yes, yes, yes.
No, that was all the fun for that one.
All right. Well, you know, the great thing, of course, is it is the holiday season. And one of the things that, you know, we felt appropriate with these two titans of the tobacco industry with us.
Oh, let me tell you.
Is to get some great holiday tobacco recommendations. So, Brian, why don't you hit us first with what your kind of tobaccos of choice are, or what you think people should be checking out this season?
Well, as a titan of the industry and the hobby, I had to bring out my scepter here, which is sponsored by, Mickey Mouse.
Brilliant.
Yeah, because I am the world's largest kid. So, all right, everybody knows. Everybody knows. My favorite is a Virginia Perique that was made by McClellan. Rest in peace.
Yep.
I've got plenty to last me a while. But I thought, all right, let's go back into the archives and pull out two tobaccos that I would actually smoke. And think of them as an alternative. Now, I felt like when I was picking these two tobaccos, I felt like aromatics, too easy of a choice. You can do Christmas spice, you can do a chocolate, you can do all that. It smells great in the room. But let's go with something that might be a little more difficult to pair up. The first one, and I've got it right here, is Presbyterian Mixture. Primarily because of the religious nature of the name would work.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's an English with a little bit of topping. Or as my wife described it, it smells like the house is burning down with cherries on top.
I like that. I like that's good.
And I torture my wife, and yeah, I'll come home with a tobacco and say, "Here, smell this," because I want to know what her pure, unadulterated palate smells, and it helps with it. But this has, you know, just a little bit of a topping to it, a little bit of that cherry, and it just kind of reminds me of a little bit of what would be a good Christmas evening smoke. It may not be real appealing to everybody around you because it's not a full-blown aromatic, but you know, at some point, you got to smoke for yourself. The other one that I pulled out would be a variation on my Virginia Perique's, and that's from GLP's. It's Haddo's Delight. Haddo's Delight has a little bit of a sweetened black Cavendish in it. It has a good dosing of Perique in it. It's got some good quality Virginias in it. And when you open it up, it's got a little bit of an extra aroma that I'm not accustomed to in a straight Virginia Perique. It's got a little bit of a pruny or figgy, or even dare I say it, it's got a little bit of a...
Don't you say it. Don't you say it.
...aroma to it. And I think it might be somewhat relatively pleasing to those that might be still around you. At the same time, if you open up either one of these two tobaccos for your evening sit down, you know, maybe you'll help clear your mind and help clear the room around you as well, and you know, get a chance to sit and smoke your pipe in peace and quiet and relax and enjoy it.
Hey, sometimes you got to do that. There's nothing better for the holiday season sometimes than clearing the room. Maintain that holiday sanity.
A little silent night or moments of reflection, which according to the internet, Silent Night, the song, is 200 years old today. But that's on the internet, where I also read that I'm a legend. So we all know that the internet is full of falseness.
Well, I mean, you know, it varies in its, correctness, right? You are a legend, Brian. Great
legend in my own mind.
Great call on the Haddo's Delight, man. Really good call on that. You know, it's interesting. You said something. I can't remember just how you put it, but I'll never forget the first time I opened a tin of Haddo's Delight. I was stunned. It just caught me off guard. There was a pronounced gingerbread smell there. I mean, it just kind of out of the blue, right? Do you relate to that?
It shocked me because I was expecting it to be a traditional, a straight up traditional Virginia Perique.
Yeah.
Thought, all right, you know, I better try this. Well, I went and bought a couple tins that had some age on them. And tried two or three different vintages of it. And you're right. When you open it, it's got a different surprising aroma to it that it's not a bad surprise.
No, yeah.
It's different.
It is. I'll never forget. It's such a good call, man, for a Christmas, full body tobacco. I'm thinking brown sugar, cinnamon. I mean, I got that from the tin note.
Trying to get to raisins, but go right ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if I drink enough eggnog, maybe we'll get there. But yeah, there was an interesting sweetness that was misleading to me a little bit. It was interesting, but man, such a great tobacco. Still excellent for the someone that's going to want something full bodied and will give them plenty of vitamin N to get through the day, right?
Yeah, and it might even pair up during the summertime with a nice ketchup based, barbecue sauce.
Brian knows. Brian knows.
I know who's doing the editing too. Because I'm doing editing too.
Oh, that's a good point. That's good. We could listen to two separate shows. Be sure if you listen on Country Squire Radio to also tune in at the Pipes Magazine to see just how one of us butchered the other, if not both.
And I'm going to interrupt here because it's also really nice of us that in this compressed time of season, for those listeners that listen to both shows, we've now saved them from having to listen to 2 hours
there
or
you go.
2 plus hours. We've condensed it into one for them and freed up their time for extra pipe smoking.
Well, it is interesting just for our, so many of our fans that have listened to both shows, and obviously we're dear friends with Brian, and
Brian has fans. We have listeners.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
But it's awesome because they put themselves through so much, self pain by listening to us, that this way, they kind of were condensing it. You're right, for the holidays, so they can go back to their eggnog and their figgy pudding and their wassail.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of all, speaking of figgy pudding, John David, what tobacco recommendations do you have? I guess just assuming that figgy pudding would be among them if there were any left in stock.
You know, yeah, it's interesting. I did not pick figgy pudding for one of our tobacco recommendations, but the Squire, we do make a blend yearly called figgy pudding. We're very proud of it. And it's been sold out now for, maybe a week and a half or so. But great tobacco. You can visit that some other time. Interestingly enough, of course, I had to be the sucker that kind of went straight for the Christmas tobacco, right? And so highly recommend Cornell & Diehl's Jolly Old St. Nick. A good tobacco, you're not any Cornell & Diehl blend, you're not going to get a you know, tobacco that's over the top moisture. You know, you'll open it and just it'll have a real clean burning consistency to it. But Black Cavendish, Perique, and Virginia, which is a really nice flavorful topping. I think you'll get some of that same almost gingerbread flavor to it. But again, this is a Virginia Perique, and so it is married with Black Cavendish, so there is a sweetness there that is, you know, a nice healthy topping. But it is full-bodied enough for, I think, even the more seasoned you know, non-aromatic smoker to enjoy that yearly twist. And so anyway, that I would certainly put you on that. It's a ribbon cut tobacco, and you know, of course comes in a tin from Cornell & Diehl. And then the one I mentioned earlier, the Scottish blend. I love this tobacco. It's been around for a long time, and Mac Baron, I think, just really nails it with this. It's got a variety of different toppings. It's a very complex tobacco. Brian, do you know how many tobaccos go into Scottish blend? You may know off the top of your head.
I was sworn to secrecy.
Okay. Well,
I was threatened with large amount of schnapps.
Hey, that's a decent threat. Yeah, I'd take that.
Schnapps.
there's a lot of different tobaccos that go into Scottish blend, and it is a nice change up tobacco for someone that wants you know, the marriage of a lot of different things. I smoke a lot of flake tobaccos, and I like Virginias. You know, Scottish blend has some of those characteristics in that it is Virginia heavy, but there's also that kind of chunky, ready rubbed texture consistency there. And so, you know, for me, that stays lit easier. It's a nice, you know, kind of change up tobacco, something in between your ribbon cut and a full flake. So anyway, really recommend that. And it's something that, you know, if you're a non-aromatic smoker but want that Christmas treat, I think it'll be good for you.
That's good, man. That's really good. Well, you know, the great thing about all of these wonderful tobaccos, if you want to be able to enjoy them, to catch all of those seasonal seasonings or just the full-bodied flavor that exists there, you know, one of the best ways we recommend to do it is smoking with a good quality, cool smoking pipe, like the ones you get at our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
No, that's right. That's right. Of course, Missouri Meerschaum, proud sponsors of Country Squire Radio, and of course, dear friends of both ours and Brian and Pipes Magazine Radio Show. We have a lot of good Missouri Meerschaums to pick from this time of year, but the Patriot is the one that I thought we'd talk about today. It's got a nice longer stem on it, which is very, very popular around Christmas time. A lot of folks, their go-to Christmas pipe, of course, is the Churchwarden, and the Patriot is kind of a smaller Churchwarden varietal, right? You've got a medium-sized bowl, just a very nice half-spindle style bowl there, so it feels really good in your palm. You can smoke a generous amount of your favorite tobacco, maybe one of the ones we've talked about today, be it Haddo's Delight or Scottish Mixture or any other ones, and get a real clean flavor of what those tobaccos taste like. And so excellent pipe. It's got a really nice high quality black mouthpiece that I think will last you a very long time if you take good care of it. And so you can get that at Missouri Meerschaum. They're available at corncobpipe.com or from your favorite pipe retailer that is worth their salt. And
that's
so
great.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm going to jump in here and add to that a little bit, because you can also buy them at the Country Squire.
You can.
And coffee cups, too. But there's been some European countries where the tradition was on New Year's Eve to light a brand new pipe. Traditionally, it'd be a clay pipe, but you'd light a brand new pipe, smoke it, and then right at midnight, you would throw it in the fireplace and smash that clay pipe. Well, we don't have a lot of clay pipes around nowadays. We don't want to smash a lot of pipes, but in that same celebration, you know, it would be perfect to take a Missouri Meerschaum corn cob fire it up at night at midnight, or fire it up right before midnight, and then take it and, you know, throw it into the fireplace or whatever and celebrate that.
No, it's good. I like that.
Or, you know, just buy a brand new corncob pipe and light it up right at the stroke of midnight and start the new year with a fresh, you know, fresh spirits. And, you know, I think part of it was to shatter and scare away all the bad things that had happened the last year and start off fresh. But, you know, there was a lot of that stuff that went on back in Germany, Holland. Trying to think, there's a couple other countries that used to do that.
Is there where you could keep like Krampus away with your, you know, with your pipe or whatever?
Yeah, or you could throw your Christmas pickle in the fire with it, and you'd have fried pickles.
Wow. Well, you know what? Whatever you choose to do with your Missouri Meerschaum pipe and whatever it is, incorporate it into your holiday tradition this year. And if you do so, be sure to take a picture of yourself doing it. Tweet that into us. We love to retweet it out. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, we have got a pipe question, a holiday-themed pipe question of the week, and I think this is very appropriate. Again, two titans of the tobacco industry here. Only the two of you could really kind of handle this kind of question, because we're going into some deep lore. Are you ready, guys?
Oh, bless his heart.
Oh. Bring it.
This is coming in from Mike Signorini, who's asking, what style of pipe does Santa prefer? And specifically, what tobacco for the night of Christmas? Does Mrs. Claus allow him to smoke inside? And what about the workshop? These are questions that the people must know. Brian, what do you think? What style pipe do you think Santa Claus prefers?
I think, obviously, Santa wants a very long stem pipe. He wants something that's going to get away from the beard, get away from the robes, and he's going to want something that's going to hang out there at a distance, because Santa, this is a secret that only the three of us know. Santa has pipe elves. He has elves that load his bowl for him and light it for him. And it might be two guys of diminished height from Jackson, Mississippi.
That's fair.
Pipe
That's
elves.
Fair.
I like that. I can take that.
I'm just saying, you know, hobbits, 11 months out of the year, pipe elves, 1 month out of the year. No, I think Santa would want a long stem pipe for the evening. Mrs. Claus lets him smoke in bed, of course, because, you know, Santa, it's just classic.
Well, and he's earned it, right? At this point, he's earned it.
Yeah, he's worked his butt off, not his belly, but his butt off for however many hours it took to go and deliver all those presents and all that, and been ramping up for, you know. So I could imagine Santa at night, the pipe elves come and bring him his pipe already loaded with a very special tobacco. A very special tobacco that no one really knows what it is. You know, the hobbits had second breakfast. Well, this is December 25th at midnight. It's a super special blend that just takes all the stress away, eases everything in the night. And Santa sits there in the bed with hot cocoa, and this blend tastes like marshmallows.
Ooh. All right. Man. I can see that. What do you think, John Dave?
I'm on board with Brian. Yeah. I would think something similar, right? So every time I think of Santa Claus, I think of an elegant church warden style pipe. I think the comment with the beard, you know, trying to negotiate the beard with the pipe after a long night of doing a lot of work, that's a real important thing for Santa Claus. I always think of the pipe after. You know, okay, Santa Claus just worked his tail off. He's gone all over the world. You know, he wants to treat himself, right? And so Mrs. Claus is going to let him get away with some things that maybe he normally can't, right? So the pipe in bed, you know, for instance, if some ashes spread around, it's just not as big of a deal because he's earned it. Maybe his favorite non-aromatic tobacco, so something with a nice heft to it. I do think of Santa smoking more of a sweeter blend typically, but maybe this is the one night of the year that he wants something that's just going to kind of calm his nerves and, you know, say, man, I can't believe I got in a wreck with that Amazon truck on my way to little Johnny's house kind of thing, you know. And so, you know, maybe he pulls out some, I don't know, GLP's Gaslight or, you know, a Brebbia Balkan or something that's got just a real rich, heavy flavor to it. The Mississippi River from Seattle Pipe Club. So something that's got some nice full-bodied, you know, richness to it. So, you know, I could see that. And I definitely think Santa's going to drink, you know, he's had enough milk at this point. So he's going to want the brown water. And I think that paired with his nice, rich tobacco and his churchwarden, and probably his feet, maybe the elves that are not from Jackson, Mississippi.
not these elves.
We'll rub his feet.
We're not the foot elves.
And you know that. I think that's what I see Santa doing.
This is absolutely great. I think we've definitely painted a full picture here. Maybe even added a little bit to the legend of Santa that'll go on. I like the pipe elves from Jackson, Mississippi, especially. But great question, Mike. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send those in to us. You can email them into Country Squire Radio at show@countrysquireradio.com.
I really like the idea. This is fun. I think maybe Brian, we're onto something here. If we could introduce a new tradition, you know, you talked about crushing the clay pipe in the fireplace, you know, maybe to ward off the evil spirits or something. I don't know. We think about, you know, how inexpensive a Missouri Meerschaum pipe is, right? These are really affordable, but they're also durable. So you can smoke it all year. Maybe you get your new Missouri Meerschaum pipe on New Year's Eve, and then you smoke that one all year. And then at New Year for the next year, after you smoked your corncob pipe all year, that's when you put that one in the fireplace. And then you pull out your new one, right? And so you, each year you've got your pipe, and then you send it off on its way to the heavens above by putting it in the fireplace. Oh, there might be something there,
there
right?
might be something
I
there.
I like that. Yeah.
But then I just got it all broken in.
No, exactly. Right.
That's the challenge that, like, mentally I'm having a little bit of a hard time with. Like, I can't destroy a pipe. I don't care if it only cost me like $5.
For me, it's like, go to From Whence You Came. You know, it's just one of those
from
things.
From Whence You Came.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
All right, here on Country Squire Radio, we do some quick fire questions. Are you ready, John David and Brian, for some quick fire questions?
Yeah, I'm not squealing like a cowboy.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. All right, so these are holiday themed. Here we go. Gingerbread or chocolate chip cookies? We'll go Brian, John David, then me.
Gingerbread.
All right, John David?
Gingerbread.
I'm going to go chocolate chip cookies. Gingerbread's delicious, but sometimes a little bit too much. Chocolate chip cookies are classic.
See, you can have chocolate chip all year long. Gingerbread is once a year.
I'm with Brian on that.
Yeah, it should be the case, but I think in our family, unfortunately, chocolate chip cookies...
You're not putting gingerbread...
they're kind of kryptonite to me.
No, you're not putting gingerbread cookies out on your Memorial Day buffet.
That's true.
Cookout. You can have chocolate chip cookies, then save the gingerbread once a year.
That's a good point. Eggnog or apple cider?
Well, I'm lactose intolerant, so the eggnog has been a long time ago, so I just take the stuff that I would normally put into the eggnog and put it into the apple cider and spike it.
All right. John David?
Eggnog, you know, I love apple cider if it's, you know, fully leaded, but yeah, I'm going to go with eggnog. You know, something about how it's real creamy and it kind of, you know, it fills you up a little bit and it makes all the troubles go away.
Eggnog is the Cadbury cream egg of Christmas. It's amazing for this one time of year, but makes no sense any other time of year. And yeah, absolutely eggnog. All right, this next one is related to eggnog, but Brian, feel free to take it in a cider-type capacity. Do you spike it with whiskey or brandy? Brian.
Whiskey. I don't want any more sugar.
John David.
Yeah, that's fair. I've always done whiskey. I haven't found many brandies that I actually like. For whatever reason, I thought I would enjoy brandy, and I drank more of it earlier in life. But yeah, nowadays, I just, you know, some kind of bourbon, you know, some kind of high-quality bourbon put in there. Maybe some Woodford Reserve. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you've tried any of the Cathead bourbon, the old...
Yeah, it's good. They make that here, yeah.
Dude, we have got to do that
really
for Squire
good, Select. Really good stuff, yeah.
It's very good.
Pendleton's 1910 Rye. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now, Brian, you said, actually, you know, we did that review on Pendleton's, and Brian, you said that's your favorite rye whiskey, is that right?
That is my favorite rye whiskey. I found it one night in Las Vegas about 6-8 years ago and tried it. And originally it was only on the West Coast and, you know, bottled in Oregon and hadn't made it across the Mississippi. Well, I brought it.
All right. Yeah. So for me, I'm going to say brandy. I like that a little additional sweetness.
No, it's good.
All right. Finally, and this is good since we've all had trees as part of our holiday traditions. Big tree, small tree, think Charlie Brown, small tree, or no tree. Brian.
I don't have a choice. You ought to ask my wife. It's a big tree. And when you think big, it's big. And if you think that's big, it's bigger.
We may have you beaten in my house this year.
And I got to tell you, because, you know, my wife's very patient with my pipe collecting and my tobacco collection, or, you know, I don't want to call it a collection. I want to call it a nuclear winter hoard. My wife has enough ornaments to decorate another 7 or 8 big trees because she has this problem. And unfortunately, there's no group for her to go to anonymously and admit that she has an addiction to Christmas ornaments. So, yeah, big tree.
All right, John David?
You got to have a canvas for all that paint and big tree for all those ornaments. Yeah, I'm going to go the same way. We do big trees. We do real trees at the Cole household. I always have. Have never owned a fake tree. They are easier for some folks, but I am a purist. Yeah, and it's typically, you know, pretty big. Yeah
big so. Real tree on me as well. I don't want to judge anybody with the fake trees, but there's
it's most people nowadays that do fake trees,
and a lot of it does come generationally too. You know what I mean? Like, if you grew up with a fake tree, you're going to maintain a fake tree. If you grew up with a real tree, you're going to maintain a real tree. It's probably more likely that somebody growing up with a real tree would switch to a fake tree than somebody who grew up with a fake tree would switch to a real tree.
They go the other way.
But I'd be curious to know if somebody did kind of the reverse of that.
I did
you really?
Oh yeah, we grew up with fake trees at home. And then when we got married and I could buy it myself, we went to a real tree.
Ah, but marriage is the great equalizer. Everything like washes out and you have to like redo everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little different.
Technically, in college, when I wasn't married, there might have been a real tree that accidentally jumped in the back of my truck back to my dorm. Well, that's long after the statute of limitations, so I'm good. But here's how we justified the fake tree. One, it's a big chunk of money when you buy it the first time. But we can set it up on Thanksgiving weekend and have it all through Christmas and all through New Year's and not have to worry about it getting dried out and having an electrical issue or pine needle. Well, you still get pine needles. Well, you get plastic needles falling off of it, but it's already wired with lights.
Huh.
Yeah, which I'm stringing up the lights on the Christmas tree. So it's already done for me. It's very nice and convenient and UL tested and safe.
Christmas is not about convenience. That's my whole thing on the whole fake tree thing. Like, I get it and I definitely appreciate it, but you know, you got to have something. Every single year I consider a fake tree like for like the hour leading up to going and buying the actual real tree. But then again, I'm like, no, you know what, this was, yes, there's sap all over my hands, and yes, we scratched up the top of the roof while we were trying, or the ceiling while we were trying to get everything set up, and yes, there's a massive fire hazard in the middle of my house, and yes, now I've stepped on glass from, you know, these lights that we have to replace every single year.
Yeah, bro, fake trees are sounding pretty good right now.
Yeah, I know. I get it, but it's about the hassle. It's the hustle. The bus.
Drag it at the end of the. You don't have to drag it out to the curb and hope that the trash man comes and picks it up. Otherwise, it's sitting out there with like just a fireball waiting to burst into flames on your front porch.
It is.
You just drag it back into the box, and then next year you have to curse yourself and thinking, why did I pack it up so tight, and why did I put it up on that very top rafter? And I've
got. Some great quickfire questions of a holiday nature. So if you want to send in some quickfire questions to Country Squire Radio, we love doing this on a weekly. Send them in to show@countrysquireradio.com. Now, normally here at Country Squire Radio, we kind of end the show. We go through some listener feedback, and we've got some great comments that we're about to share here. But before we dive into that, Brian, he's kind of brought a little bit of a present for us. And I'm really kind of excited for this. Brian, you want to tell us what you're about to do for us?
Now, normally on the Pipes Magazine radio show, especially during Christmas time, we play a piece of holiday music. And for those that don't listen, this year we have featured songs from Bing Crosby, Burl Ives, Queen, all Christmas themed. I'm forgetting the fourth one that we featured off the top of my head. Might have been Dean. Oh, it was Dean Martin doing Baby It's Cold Outside, because that apparently now is a date rape song instead of a holiday song. But I hold no judgment on it.
Same.
So normally I do some sort of entertainment. Well, I have lived in the South here for 18 and a half years. This is technically my 19th Christmas in the great state of North Carolina, where the war is not over yet in some parts. A while back, I was given a book called The Night Before a Redneck Christmas. So I thought, just in my standard voice, you know, this is Christmas Eve that we're recording this on. Most of you are going to hear this after Christmas. Well, just close your eyes and imagine it's a few days earlier. And this is kind of what happens in Jackson, Mississippi, and Charlotte, North Carolina, in certain parts. Are you ready?
Bring it.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the trailer park, not a pop top was popping, not even Old Blue barked. Our stockings was hung over the space heater with care, in the hopes that Santy would fill them with Viennas and beer. The kids was asleep in their NASCAR PJs, dreaming of Goo Goo Clusters, Moon Pies, and Milky Ways. If they're from North Carolina, they're also dreaming of Cheerwine.
Yep.
And I continue. And Erlene in her curlers and me in my Earnhardt cap had just settled into our lazy boys for a Wheel of Fortune and a nap. Then out in the vacant lot, I heard such a commotion. I thought it was neighbor Clyde finally getting his T-bird in motion. I heaved out of my recliner and to the window I flew, busted out the screen and hollered to Old Blue. The moon was shining down on my old wrecked cars, so bright they was sparkling like rusty old stars. And I couldn't believe my own hard-working eyes when a jacked-up Chevy pickup come flying through the sky. Faster an old Ironhead, his possums they came, and he whooped and hollered and called them by name. Get up sooner, High Duke. Move your tails, Yaller and Spud. Blackie on Queenie, you mind me, Duchess and Bud. To the top of the satellite dish, to the top of the shed. Now move it and step on it, you'll get out the lead. You know how our old road, whenever a car goes by, there's all this dirt that flies up in the sky. That's how this crew went straight up on my roof with that pickup full of toys, a real nice gun rack, and a redneck Santa too. Then before I could pop my teeth in, I heard up on the tin the scrambling around of them flying possums of his'n. I yanked my head back in the trailer and hitched up my shorts. Down the dryer vent went Redneck Santa, came with a grunt and a snort. Now, let me tell you right now, dryer vent, that's high class.
We're talking about a pretty decent trailer park then here, right?
Yeah, this is a good place.
Yeah.
He was dressed in red and green camo from his neck to his feet, and I had to give him credit. He still had most of his teeth. Looked like stuff from Erlene's yard sale slung on his back. There was fly swatters and Tupperware and 8-tracks sticking out of his pack. Bo, John David, 8-tracks is what we had before we had the little cassette players.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's a cassette player?
Yeah.
It was called an 8-track cassette. Anyway, okay. When he winked his eye, I knew for sure he'd treat us right. Why, he just might even leave me some ammo tonight. I stood there dreaming of a whitetail while I watched him work. Then he stopped and, like a real man, let out a fart and a burp. He topped off our stockings with moon pies and bottle rockets, then squoze up that dryer vent like spam in your pocket. He jumped in his pickup, laid down on the horn, and I'm not lying, they took off with their possum tails flying. But I heard him holler as he headed for the 7-Eleven, Merry Christmas to all, and may all rednecks get into heaven.
Amen.
Oh, man. You know, I never really thought of the Cajun Night Before Christmas as classy. But, you know,
all it needs is comparison.
By comparison, yeah. Like Cajun Night Before Christmas all of a sudden just became like, you know, Hemingway.
Well, I own the book, but for reading it here on the show, I found a printout of it, and it was very big and easy for me to look at without my reading glasses. But yeah, there's variations of the night before Christmas of many, many types and kinds. And
oh man, listen, look, I'm notorious for creating parodies of the night before Christmas. I gave my wife one based on our cat one year. that I wrote. And then also back when I was doing the Pokemon Go podcast, I came up with a Pokemon Night Before Christmas. And then just recently, as everybody knows, I've been playing this game Sea of Thieves. I came up with a Sea of Thieves Pirate Night Before Christmas. And so I'm a huge fan of parodies of Night Before Christmas. But I mean, like, you know, I guess
that was I thought it was good. I'm for it.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds you of your Christmas growing up.
I mean, they were hoping for Vienna sausages to go in their to go in their stocking. Like, I mean, that's fantastic. That's a good Christmas, man.
That's a good Christmas.
That and some crab apples or something. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll just warn you, if you start searching for that on the internet, be careful. There are some that you don't want to read to friends or family that might be sensitive. Or not, you might want to remain friends or family with afterwards.
That's exactly right.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, so we've got you know, something special that we want to do for the listeners. But before we do that, let's actually right now we've been kind of monitoring the live feed. We are broadcasting. We have been broadcasting live at Country Squire Radio here on Christmas Eve. And as we always, I feel like, plan to do lately, but seem to fail at doing. Again, this is on me. John David's been monitoring Twitter, and I've actually been monitoring YouTube. So John David, let's share a couple of comments that we've got from folks that are tuning in live.
Really good to be joined by a lot of friends here on Christmas Eve. So Portland Paul says, I'm laying straight up in bed watching right now, and hashtag the life. And so fantastic. Slyly attempting to watch at Squire Radio Live while visiting my family. My nephew keeps trying to tap the screen. That's from Kilted Pipe Guy. And Jim Nelson, of course, saying, raisins, that's such a Mickey Mouse way to describe tobacco. Throwing the gauntlet down. Go ahead.
I forgot my Mickey Mouse Christmas fleece too.
Okay, so. I mean, he's got props like crazy.
and it's too sunny and warm in here to put on a fleece. I'm just wearing my my favorite Who's Your Santa t-shirt.
Oh, that looks good. I like that. I need more tacky sweaters in my life. Of course, Brian probably doesn't think that's tacky. We've got Portland Paul. He's wondering if it's sacrilegious to actually break a pipe. It might be, but what about burning it in your fireplace? I'm just saying, we might be onto something.
No, I mean, part of me loves the romantic concept of it, but I hate the actual practice of destroying a pipe. I don't know where I land on this. Man, we got Blue Dog, who's commenting in on YouTube. He says, we need some comment on John David's trimmed beard dressed up for this particular special occasion, or perhaps the holidays. And he's not the only one. There has been, as soon as we went live, everybody's been commenting on the fact that you're actually groomed.
Wow. Why? It's not like I look like I come out of a pasture every week, is it? Really?
All right, so you know picture.
I just got my beard kind of trimmed a little bit, you know?
Just, John David, don't go walking by any nativity scenes tonight with your long beard and hair, because they may grab you and say, hey, get back in there.
We hired you for all week. That's hilarious.
That's amazing.
That's pretty funny.
If you actually go to thesecountrysquireonline.com right now, you are greeted with one of the most terrifying images you'll ever see in your entire life. And it is a John David Cole wearing a Santa hat with this perfectly coiffed hair. What's the right?
Is it my flowing mane?
It's a flowing mane. I posted that out to Twitter, and somebody responded with, my wife saw this and wanted to know what was on his shoulder. I told her that it was his hair. She thought it was a living creature. So that happened.
That's my rat's nest. Yeah.
I had a flowing mane here one time. We called the plumber and got that fixed.
Man, everybody's talking about what they're smoking, of course, today. Figgy pudding is coming up. We've actually got a lot of Throgmorton mentioned. I mean, obviously, yes. It's a special time of year to dive into that.
Yep.
Three nuns, 30-year-old. Wow. Enjoying some tomorrow, says one Arden's, along with a 21-year-old whiskey. Man, wow, that is a Christmas right there.
It is one of those times of year where if you've got something nice that's limited edition, that, you know, we think about the McClellan tobaccos that you won't be able to get again, this is the time of year to pull them out, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the time of year to kind of, you know, relive some of those memories and really, really savor that.
Well, and you've talked about, you know, aging your, and historically aging your McClellan a year in advance in preparation for Christmas and everything. And man, so we've got actually Hockter saying, I actually cracked a tin of Golden Days of Yore from 2015 a few days ago.
Good stuff.
This is a really good holiday blend. Yeah, man. The and then there's a lot of comments. Kind of the big points of discussion tonight have been the barbecue episode, which Brian, of course,
people are really talking about that.
So I basically said, look, the 300th episode is coming up. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not making any commitments. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that it is coming up, and that's the 300th episode. And if we don't do a barbecue by then or for then, it's going to be the last episode of Country Squire Radio.
Brian,
can you commit to that? Actually?
Brian, do you look for an excuse to eat on your show? Like, I mean, it really, is that a thing for you?
My show's pre-recorded. I snack in between, during, after, the whole time.
I'm not, it's
Bo, here's what we do. We just get John David so busy one time that he forgets that he's got to do a show on Monday. You call me, we'll do the barbecue pairing, and I, you know, even for my Jewish friends, I'll pair tobacco with gefilte fish.
Hey, there you go. Hey, you know what? I like that. We should do a lox pairing. Oh my gosh. I'm 100% down with this. I'm 100%
down with it. This is just completely ridiculous. You know, we do these pairings, and we're trying to bring you really valid content, and, you know, it just, I don't know. No, that's... Hey, I mean, bring
April
the
April 1st comes around every once in a while, doesn't it?
No, it does. Yeah.
All right. So I want to for the last kind of comment that I want to read. This comes in from Peddler Piper, who says, "This makes me wish Pipes Magazine podcast did a weekly live recording." So just
this, the work that went into setting this up makes me realize why we don't do a live recording.
Well, you know, it's been a lot of fun. You know, this has been a special holiday episode. Of course, you know, the two shows, the three of us coming together to celebrate the holidays here on Christmas Eve. But I think I can speak for all of us when I say that none of us would be here. None of us would do what we do. None of us would be able to get behind the mic on a weekly and to you know, share some thoughts on the industry, share some of our personalities, some of our relationships. None of us would do this if not for you. And I'm talking specifically about you that is listening right now. You are always ever present in everything that the three of us do. When you are tuning into Pipes Magazine Radio, when you are tuning into Country Squire Radio, there's a reason why you feel a sense of connection with us. There's a reason why you feel like there's something more than just, oh, I'm listening to radio. And that's because it's part of a community. And it's not just the pipe community. It's stronger than that. A podcast is really about a relationship between the listener and the podcasters. And, you know, John David and I and Brian, I'm sure as well, we're just all very, very thankful for you. At the very top of our nice list and nowhere near the naughty list is the dear listeners of Country Squire Radio and Pipes Magazine Radio.
There might be a couple near the naughty list.
There might be a few.
No, I do need to just second Bo. Of course, this has been a tremendous season, a tremendous year for me and my family personally. And, you know, I've been so moved that so many of you have been a part of that, right? And, you know, every week when you tune in, it's fun to get to experience these changes in life and these things with you. And we've made, you know, incredibly dear, close friends that, you know, across the country through this, you know, thing that we've developed. And it's not just me and Bo. It's not just, you know, Brian and us. It's all of us together that have put forth the effort to really foster this community. And, you know, you weekly trust folks, you know, trust us with, you know, your, you know, tobacco information and pipe information and your very cherished time, your precious time that you don't have a lot of. Maybe it's on your way to work or, you know, after you put the kids down to bed. And, you know, it's just amazing. Brian, of course, really paved the way for this in a lot of ways several years ago. And Bo and I, you know, lucky enough to follow afterwards. And we're just so honored to be a part of your weekly rhythm. And we thank you for giving us that opportunity.
You know, and I'll add into this I knew very little about podcasting when I got started. I started learning about it, took 3 months, figured it out. The time that I realized that this was special was when I got an email from a listener that was in the military, active duty in Afghanistan. And he told me, and I'll condense it down, that essentially he would wait for he and his four other pipe smoking buddies to get together and be able to get time off and go out of the base and sit down with their pipes. And the five of them would listen to my show on an iPod. And that was their one moment a week when they really could forget about what was going on in their world.
That is so cool.
Well, since then, you know, it's been a privilege. It's been an honor. And, you know, there's really no reason why I'd know two guys from Jackson, Mississippi, if it wasn't for podcasting. The friends that I've met and made over the digital airways. Russ Hicks, a couple of weeks ago, we were driving to Disney World and we stopped to have dinner with him and his family, even to the point where I know what Russ's real name is.
So, you can't say that on air.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but I was looking through the, you know, it's an incredible group of people that listen to this show. I've had the honor because of the podcast to meet some wonderful people. You know, yeah, longevity. If longevity is a sign of greatness, sure. 328 episodes consistently, one week after the other. All right, I'm great. Or I'm too belligerent and stupid to realize that. But just as an example of this pipe smoking community and how wonderful the people are, right now there are two people, not one, but two people that I know through the Pipes Magazine radio show that are nominated for Grammy Awards. There are,
wow.
Yeah, I've met an assistant coach of the Miami Dolphins from the Perfect Season that won the Super Bowl. The list of people that I've met through the podcast and through this community is just amazing. The community is amazing. And I got, you know, honestly, if it wasn't for those amazing people, when I get here every week and I sit down and think, all right, what are we going to do? How are we going to put together a show? What subjects? La, 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 la. It's those amazing people that are listening right now that keep me going every week to put together another show and know that, you know, I may be the only contact they have with other pipe smokers. Hopefully they're listening to both podcasts and Mike's Pipe and Tamper. But it's a great community of people, and I've got a ton of friends from it, and they're people that I really call my friends and not just,
yeah,
including my little friends from Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh,
isn't that precious?
That's sweet.
Man, well, that's wonderful, dude. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. And gosh, if you're watching and listening today, man, we are thankful for you.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. It is our hope and our prayer that you are having a blessed holiday season. You know, as we go out from this podcast and enjoy some good food, some good family, some fun, some presents.
Some eggnog.
Man, it's going to be a blast. So thank y'all so much for tuning in. Brian, where can folks keep up with you, all your great social media information for Pipes Magazine?
Follow me on Facebook, Brian Levine. That's very easy. Follow the Pipes Magazine radio show page on Facebook. If you are interested in travel or anything like that, send me an email. You know, all the standards, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com, brian.levine@mei-travel.com. I don't know, tweet, you know, send up carrier pigeons or flares somehow. Yeah, post it on the Pipes Magazine radio show page on Pipes Magazine, because we actually have a forum there. And we also have all 328 back episodes sitting there for just open to listen to. So if you really want to, you know, really want to get family and friends out of the house quick, especially those first 20 shows, boy, this put those on real loud. You'll clear the audience.
Yeah, we know the feeling. Yeah,
there's a reason why we bury those. Like you got to be in the club to listen to that. You got to know what you're.
You have to like us for right.
Well,
minor there is a hazing. If you get through those, then you get to the good ones.
Nice. Well, of course, to get the access of the full Country Squire Radio archive, all you have to do is become a patron at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. You can, of course, keep up with the show throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course,
And I'm at On My Own Opinion on Twitter.
That you are.
He's got a great Twitter feed. Please follow at My Own Opinion on Twitter.
And of course,
I don't do anything there but pick on you guys.
That's exactly right. There's a lot of good content there.
And of course, I'm not wearing Speedos. Look.
Thank God. That was the best.
He stood up for the camera to prove it.
Best Christmas present we could have possibly asked for. Of course, you can follow the show, Country Squire Radio's Twitter handle, @SquireRadio. All that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where, of course, generally you can tune in on Mondays at noon, Central Time, that is. However, next week, I want to make sure that we let people know. So next week, we will be off for New Year's, but not off on the podcast. There will be a podcast episode coming out your way this week. Really excited. I'll go ahead and share it. It's that Lunting episode episode that you have all been wanting. It is finally coming, and it is coming your way next week, just in time for your New Year's resolution. Learn all about lunting next week. Can't wait to share that episode with you. But again, we will not be live. There will be a podcast episode, which you can find at CountrySquireRadio.com next Wednesday. And I think that's going to do it for us. Brian, man, what I think this crossover is a tremendous success.
This was fun.
Definitely one for the history books.
This was either going to go up in flames or go over really well. We'll find out.
I think we did a bit of both, which I, honestly, that should be.
No, I thought it was great. Yeah. I mean, we have so many you know, mutual friends, and people have been looking forward to this since we kind of put it out there for a while now ago. And yeah, I think the biggest thing was the technical stuff. We weren't sure how that was going to work out, but you know, we've had some people.
We didn't have to do any of that. We just had to show up.
I just have to show up and apparently trim my beard, and that's all that people care about.
Trim your beard and everything, that breaks the internet. Brian and I tech support things for like 2 days, and then just John David shows up with a beard like, oh my gosh,
look,
it's so glorious.
I bathed today. Yeah, aren't y'all proud?
All right, guys. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Let's go have a holiday.
Yeah.
That should be how I end the show right there. Bye, guys.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.